Morning. Thank you, Rabbi Abbey, for filling in the first part there. Just a bit of an introduction first to Panuch Hadashos. Normally, you know, if there was more time and we had shiur more often than every Friday, and I would actually be giving them, and if the time to prepare them, this the type of pace that I would go at would be quite much slower than I would be today. Bearing that in mind, I'm just going to give a bit of a background on Panuch Hadashos, and we'll actually, in terms of how many Panuch Hadashos are required, I'd actually like to go through a broader sense, not just Yitzhak Rashi, Bershus through Richter Tuner and Rabbi Abbey, who, by the way, I have to thank both of them and Rabbi Alex for their help in getting this put together. I'd like to talk a little bit about Panuch Hadashos. So first of all, we'll take a look at two Gemaras that discuss the idea of Panim Chadashos, and those are in source number Aleph, in the Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Zayin of Beis Chasim and Aleph, Tanar Rabbanan. We have a Brisa of Avarchan, Birchas Chasanim, Ba'asara Kol Shiva. We make the Birchas Chasanim with a minion all 7 days. Rabbi Huda says, wait, there's one requirement, V'hu Sheba'u Panim Chadashos. That can only be done when Panim Chadashos come. Okay, when you have new faces, you know, coming, then you're allowed to make the Birchas Chasanim, you're allowed to make what we call the Sheva Brachos. You can make those Brachos all of the 7 days following the wedding. Okay, exactly when we start counting, is the night of the wedding the first one? That's another story, we're not going to discuss that, but that's the basic idea. And similarly, we see in the Gemara another, you know, reiteration of this. Ravashi Ikla Lebe Rav Kahana. Ravashi came to Rav Kahana. Yoma Kama, the first day, Baruch Kulhu. Right, the first day, the day of the wedding, you know, he made all Sheva Brachos. Mikan ve'elach, from then on, i'ika panim chadashos berich kulu. If panim chadashos were present, he would make all of the brachos, all the Sheva Brachos, v'ilav. And if not, afushi simcha ba'almahu. It's like leftover simcha, it's remaining from the original wedding. It's an extension, so he would make mevarach sheha simcha b'mono v'asher bara. You'd make a bracha of sheha simcha b'mono and asher bara, but not any of the other Sheva Brachos, okay? And these are two cases. Number one, we say when Panim Chadashos come, or if Iika Panim Chadashos, then one, we make all Sheva Brachos. If not, you celebrate on a lesser scale when it comes to Brachos. Now, in terms of the Shitos of the why of Panim Chadashos, Rabbi Abbey mentioned a couple of them actually in the last few Shiurim that sort of came up in discussion of the honor as well as the sort of respect for the Chasan. And one, you know, the simplest, plainest reading is what Tosfos write here. Tosfos say that it has to be when someone honorable comes to the meal. Presumably, again, Panim Chadashos would mean that they haven't been there prior. Whatever, again, whether that extends all the way back through the wedding or whether that only means they haven't come to the Sheva Brachos is, again, a question that we will not be able to tackle today. When a Richter Tuner actually sent me his shiurim from last time around that he gave this to the Avreichim, he had it in four sections. So one of the sections might have related to that, but we're not going to be able to get through that today. There are different opinions, though, in the Rishonim. Can the person have attended the wedding? Can the person have attended and heard the Sheva Brachos at the wedding, provided they didn't go to the meal? Can the person have gone to the meal? And we'll actually see something very interesting in Rashi that will relate slightly to that today. So Tosfos say, so long as the person attending is someone who brings honor, and we would normally increase simcha / seuda, okay, increase the food that we make, on his behalf, that would be someone who would qualify as Panuch Hadashos. The Ran has a slightly different version, which we'll see the Ran, but not that part of the Ran, in which he says anybody that makes the Chasan happy, even presumably if this is not such an honorable person, but so long as it's, you know, your best friend that you haven't seen in 10 years, even though they're not so anybody special, they could be, you know, just a regular stump person, that will also be included as Panuch Hadashos. And there are machloksim in the Achronim, you know, machlokos, really, in the Achronim, getting all the way down to, you know, what if you've got the beggar who's going door to door and he appears, you know, at your Sheva Brachos, can you count him as Panim Chadashos, and all sorts of other interesting shailas. And finally, you have the Shita of the Rambam, which I think we talked about the Aruch HaShulchan's explanation of it. We'll see the Rambam inside and you'll be able to get a better idea, but for him it seems that it has more to do with the attendees, that they, for some reason, have to make the Sheva Brachos. So if they have not partaken, you know, in a meal or situation where the Sheva Brachos have been recited, then we say it on their behalf almost. What the reason for that is, again, the Aruch HaShulchan explains, which I think we saw, that it's really that they're coming to bless the Chasan and Kala, and we do it through this method of making Brachos. Therefore, if there are people present who haven't yet blessed the Chatzan Mekala, they do that through this method of Sheva Brachos, and therefore the other people present make the Sheva Brachos sort of to go along with those people who are coming, not because there's a celebration of extra happiness for the Chatzan and Kala, but again, for the people who are attending. Now, we're going to focus today really on Shitas Rashi. Other than the first section of how many Panu Chadashos are required, which is basically the entire first page, and even a little bit more, that's just going to give us some background, you know, to talk about this question of Panim Chadashos, how many are required, which will allow us to spring into some different pshatim within Rashi. But just to, so you have Rashi there as a reference, Rashi writes, V'hu sheba'u panim chadashos, what does that mean in the Gemara? V'hu sheba'u, what does it mean they came? So Rashi says, El ha-mishteh, they came to the feast. Again, this will open up a whole nother chunk of questions, which we won't be able to get into today, because we can only ever do one Rashi at a time. But what does El ha-mishteh mean? Does that mean they have to have been present for the entire meal? Does it mean they have to have eaten at the meal? And what might that imply in certain other halachic cases? It's a good question. We won't be able to tackle that. However, Panim Chadashos, the next Rashi says, Bechol Yom, okay, there needs to be, what is it, V'hu Sheba'u Panim Chadashos? Rashi says, every single day, Shelo Hayusham Etmol, that were not there previously. So we're going to explore, following an introduction in which we discuss how many Panim Chadashos are required, we're going to explore what is it that Rashi means with this second statement of Panim Chadashos Bechol Yom Shelo Hayusham Etmol. I'm sure that a lot of you are having some ideas already, and I'm sure that you will see them in one of the four Mahalchim that people suggest in Rashi. Okay, so, beginning in just sort of a background here. Yeah. How many Panim Chadashos are required in general? Have any of you ever been to a Sheva Brachos where you had Panim Chadashos? Have any of you ever been to a Sheva Brachos where you've had Panim Chadashos? How many came? Can't remember, okay? He says one came.
I've been where there's been one.
He's been where there's been one. You've been in a single Panim Chadashos, okay? Did the Panim Chadashos have to be single? No, just kidding. Yes. Anyways, let's read the Rambam. Says the Rambam, Kelchot Brachos Perak Beis Alacha Yod Source Gimel. Bracha Zushim Osifim Beis Chasanim Hi Bracha Achronam Yishava Brachos Shel Nisuin. Okay, he's talking about, again, making the Bracha of Asher Bara. Okay? Bamedvar Mamurim, he says, when do we say that you only make the Bracha of Asher Bara following the wedding, at other meals following it? Kishehayu ha'ochlim, when the people eating at that meal, heim she'amdu bevirchas nisuin v'shamu ha'brachos, when those people were there for the wedding, for the birchas nisuin at the very least, and they heard these brachos already. Aval, says the Rambam, but, im hayu ha'ochlim achirim, shelo shamu birchas nisuin b'shas nisuin, if the people who are now eating at the meal were different people, they're achirim, and they haven't yet heard the birchas hanisuin b'shas nisuin, okay, and they haven't heard those brachos, mivarchim bishvilam, we make the brachos on their behalf, achar birchas mazon, after benching, sheva brachos kederach shemivarchim b'shas nisuin. We do almost like a repeat. Oh, you guys missed the wedding? So sorry. We'll do a mini wedding for you right now. We'll make sheva brachos because you missed it. Okay, v'hu sheyihyu asara, provided that there are 10, v'chasanim min haminyan, and the chasan is included. So when you're reading this Rambam, what does it mean when he says v'hu sheyihyu asara? Is the Rambam referring back to his previous comment saying that ochlim have to be achirim shelo shamu berachas nisuin? Do we need 10 of those? Or would you say, no, we need 10 people? And what rayos could you bring to either direction?
Doesn't by finishing with the three words v'chatanim min haminyan kind of clarify that the asara don't need to be the achirim?
So that, I think, is an excellent raya. There are ways to answer it. We'll see that in Rambam and Rambam. That's actually one of the proofs he brings, that two proofs he brings to say that the Rambam cannot mean that there are 10 Panim Chadashos. But if you look in a Rav Avadia, it was a wonderful summary tshuva on this. He does bring this opinion, which was actually quite prevalent, that people believe this. And as we'll see, even in Rav Avraham and Rambam's tshuva, he's responding to people who read the Rambam this way, even at his time. So even as early as the Rambam's generation himself, people understood this Rambam to mean that you actually need 10 Panim Chadashos. Minus the chasan, maybe 9 panim chadashos. Fine. Says Rabbi Ovadia in sort of explaining and citing different sources, v'lechora hayanir mipshat devarav, it seems, l'chora, from what he says, shekol hasar yu panim chadashos. We'd need 10 people who are panim chadashos. L'fizeh. And according to this, and this is going to be a huge, huge, huge nafkamina, maran ha-shulchan aruch be'evan ha'ezer simen samach beisif zayin, shekasav k'lashon ha-rambam anal sofer kain. So it's going to come out, the shulchan aruch copies the lashon of the Rambam here. If we say that the Rambam requires 9/10 Panim Chadashos, we will need to follow that lahalacha, it seems, right? And that's what the Shulchan Aruch would hold as well. V'chein ra'isi b'shus Mahari Alevi achi hataz. Okay, so the Mahari Alevi, who is the Taz's brother, wrote in a Tshuva Simon Lamed Zayin, Shekasav Kein Lekush Tzimiltzi. He says, yeah, that's the truth. The truth is the Rambam holds you need 10 Panim Chadashos. Shedas Rambam Hatzar Chasar Shekulam Panim Chadashos Ein Sham. V'huva b'sefer Yad Aron, he says, brought in Yad Aron. V'chein echer hichzik afra b'sefer Birech HaSavram. In this sefer Birech HaSavram, which seems to be quoted a lot on these issues because he has a whole section of Birech HaSanim, Os Lamed, Dafkof Yadam Aleph, Behosif. Okay, and again, he added as well, Shagam Marin Shetik B'Shulchan Aruch Kalashin Rambam, so too. Shulchan Aruch, who copies Lashin Rambam, Sphir Le Debeinan Shakal Hasar, Ayu Panu Chadashos, Uchdivri Ma'ari Halevi Anal, Besafik Brachos Lahakel. What's going to come out according to this Berachas of Rambam, and according to this stage in Ravadia? Ravadia goes on to bring the other Mekoros that dispute this, and does not paskin this way in his final say, but he does give you, again, a whole section of people who say, listen, the Rambam paskins this way, and the simple read of the Rambam is say, Yehusha Yiyu Asara is referring to the Ochlim, the people who are eating, who have to be Achirim Shalo, Shamu, Berchas Nisuin, Bishas Nisuin, people who didn't hear it. Therefore, we can make the argument that 9 or 10 people that are there have to be Panim Chadashos. Following this, we actually have a bit of an interesting shita, which doesn't come up all that often, but follows Misvara. Interestingly, the Otzer HaPoskim, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Sefer, it's an absolutely wonderful, wonderful Sefer, which gathers basically anything you could dream of on any particular topic in Evin HaEzer. If you ever wanted to see how much Chazal care about Agunas, you can look, because there's like a number of volumes on Siman Yud Zayin, I believe it is, in Evin HaEzer and Otzer HaPoskim. But anyways, wonderful Sefer. In the Otzer HaPoskim, he brings a very bizarre Shita, which we don't see anywhere else except for apparently in the Avi Ezer Shebesof Mishnayis Tiferes Yisrael. Okay, so in the back of Tiferes Yisrael Mishnayis, not in our Tiferes Yisrael Mishnayis, I checked our regular Mishnayis, and I don't have this Avi Ezer in back, but apparently in the older versions, they used to print this Perish Avi Ezer, and he wrote, Shepanim Chadash Yisrael Sheyu Harov Meha Asara. He says, well, we should treat this like any other minion. If you need a minion of Panim Chadashos, then, same thing as we have for davening, a minion, and all you really need of people who haven't davened yet is 6. And just like you need by benching, you don't necessarily need all 10 people to have been eating, the full meal, have washed, really. So he says, Tzarach Sheyu Harov Me'asar, you need at least 6. Okay, give our Achaim, same as Samach Tes, Fesim Kuf Tzadi Zayin, Linnit Filo Berk Zamazon, Basara. He says that's what's going to follow from this Rambam. So this is an intermediate cheetah, which nobody really mentions and nobody really cares about, to be honest. However, what's interesting is that I don't know that this is a fair read of the Rambam. Number one, for the B'chassanim and Aminyan, which we're going to see, but also look at the Gemara. If you look at the Gemara Daf Ches Amud Beis, which talks about Berchas Chassanim, not related to Panim Chadashos at that time, does that sound like the Rambam? Yes. The Rambam is channeling the Gemara. And what's the Gemara talking about? If you look at that Gemara, the Gemara is simply saying you need a minion. Doesn't mean you need a minion of Panim Chadashos. So I think it's not the fairest read to say that, the Pashut Pshat of the Rambam is that you need 10 Panim Chadashos, maybe, if you didn't know the Gemara. But if we can see the Gemara that the Rambam is basically quoting from, we can tell that the Rambam clearly doesn't intend that. In fact, if you look in Rav Rambam, who wrote a tshuva to people who wrote to him about this topic, he says, Hashela Chamish is the fifth question that you asked me in source number Zion. That which relates to Panim Chadashos in the Beis Chasanim. Nira mi divrechem, he says, it seems from what you wrote to me, she'atem choshvim shema she'amar abamari zatzal, that this said, my father, you think that what my father wrote, b'chibur, in, Helchos Brachos, Perek Beis Alachayud, v'hu she'yihu asara, you think that that which he wrote, there needs to be 10, inyano ad she'yihu Panim Chadashos asara. You think that he means you need 10 Panim Chadashos. V'rak az yivarachu sheva brachos b'verchas amazon. And only then can you make a sheva brachos, 7 brachos at times b'verchas amazon. Umi shechoshiv kach toeh. He doesn't mince his words. He says, it's just not true. Ki huza lo ratza lomar bidvarav v'hu sheyihu asara. He says, what did he mean when he said there needs to be 10? Ala shehena asafim lebracha yihu asara. There needs to be a minion there present at that time, like this Pashtus HaGemara, and like, as we're going to see, virtually every other Rishon thinks.
Like,
right?
The Rambam himself seems to indicate.
And he says exactly your point. Yisbonei na lidvarav zal. Right? He quotes Yaakov. He says, look at the end of the Rambam. V'chassanim min haminyan. He says explicitly that chasanim are included. V'chasanim ein apanim chadashos. He says chasanim are not apanim chadashos. Now, I should just note here, you could make an argument in return to say that obviously no one would say that chasanim shouldn't be included in a minyan of panim chadashos because it's all about, you know, the chasan. Even if we're saying that the bracha is based on the fact that other people are present, no one's disputing that it has some relation to the fact that the chasan's there. So you could counter this argument by saying that it's not inconceivable to say that a chasan should be included even though he's not panim chadashos. And in fact, Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam makes a comment to that effect, not as a response to this, but just to say that obviously the chasan would be involved in his own simcha. I don't know if it's intending to respond to this or not. It probably isn't, but you could make that counter-argument, just to note that point.
The chasan must speak. In other words, that he alone is enough. Right?
Well, no one says.
You need 10 people there. You can't have the chasan and two friends making sheva brachas. Chalila. Right? Of course that's why the chasan's not must speak. Now, people have also diyukim. It's funny to see chasanim, so it's talking about in general, so panim chadashos is also in general, so, whatever. But anyways, let's move on. Klal shel davar, says Rav Raman Rambam. At the end of the day, bizman shemis aspim asara le'echo beveis chasanim. When you've got 10 people coming together in the base chasanim, v'gam kesha chasanim v'chlal, including the chasanim. Mivarchim birchas chasanim, we make the brachos of sheva brachos. V'im ein sham panim chadashos, and if there's no panim chadashos, mivarchim asher bara sason v'simcha. Then we'll only make asher bara, v'im hayu b'chlal ha'asara, if within the 10 people there were panim chadashos, mivarchim sheva brachos, then we'll make sheva brachos. Now, he says, I'm not done with you yet, though. V'ulam. Geder panim chadashos l'fima shenimsar b'shem Abba Marizal b'inyan zeh. So now he quotes us a misora from the Rambam. This is not usually something that you see. Usually, when the Rambam wants to say something, he finds a place to write it in any of his, you know, very extensive writings. But he says, actually, I have a misora from my father. What does panim chadashos mean? How many? And he says b'inyan zeh. Hulo pachos mishnayim. You need a minimum of two panim chadashos. Why? Ki panim lashon rabim. Because panim means two at a minimum. Panim chadashos.
That's the same with panim.
So this is going to get to a grammar discussion. Ena chanami, you could say one person would be called the panim. You could maybe, you know, call him panim chadash though. Okay?
No. You have a panim.
Yeah, you have two sides.
You, as an individual person, have a plural panim.
Yes.
Bilateral symmetry.
So there is the use of the word pan as a singular.
And that's why, if you look, go down, if you look...
Aspect, facet, yes. And aspect.
This is something I was going to discuss in the Aruch. If you look down, in Aruch Pan, he discusses panim chadashos. But anyways, there are people that have made this argument to say that panim chadashos, because it is a plural... Because it is a plural, according to them, you can make the argument that it's two. And in fact, says the Rambam, that is the Rambam Shita. V'apachos shel rabim lefi halacha shnayim, l'amram miyut rabim shnayim. That's what he says. V'chein adavar mevor, so too it's clear. Minachibor l'amro zal, avalim hayu ha'ochlim achirim. Umuvan achirim means rabim. He says, even if I'm not being medayik in panim chadashos, he says you could be medayik in what the Rambam has to say, ochlim achirim, sounds like a minimum of two. Fine. You're willing to do the diuk in the Rambam. Now, where did the Rambam get it from? Rav Ram saying he got it from the fact that it's called panim chadashos, right? I mean, I guess from the fact that we even used that language altogether in the Gemara. You know, could have said im haya echad nimtza shelo haya shem. I don't know. I mean, there could have been other ways to say it. But anyways, that's what he says, right? Vizulas abba maris atzal sevurim shegam lu rak echad panim chadashos mivarchim biglal osheva brachos. And there are some people outside of my father, meaning outside the Rambam, there are other sheets that say, even if one were to come, we would make Sheva Brachos. The Rambam himself, though, didn't agree with this. Now, just a point here, which I should really say at the end. You know what? I'm going to skip down to Os Tes now, and maybe we'll get back to this in a second. But, says the Aruch, you know, which is quoted as being almost the most explicit as to who needs one. The Aruch says, V'perakama b'ksuvos, Mikan ve'elach iika panim chadashos mivarech kulhu. Okay, so he quotes us our Gemara. Iika panim chadashos mivarech kulhu. Perush Adam shelo haya bechopa o b'seuda b'shashem mivarechin. It's a person. Okay, perush Adam. Okay, so he's explaining what does panim chadashos mean. Panim chadashos means one, presumably based on grammar. Right? You're saying panim chadashos doesn't have to mean two. Adam sham lechatchila karoy panim chadashos. One person coming new is called panim chadashos. This is very, very clear. However, people go to all sorts of lengths, perhaps because they don't want to rely on an arach, perhaps they don't know that the arach says this so explicitly, or perhaps because that's just what achronim do sometimes, is they try to come and make diyukim in other rishonim. So, for example, they look at the Ran quoting the Ramban here, and we'll see the Ramban himself is even more explicit about this. Right, so Ramban Kasav, in source number Yud, the Ran quoting the Ramban again, Dekol Sheba Panim Chadashos Ve'omeid Sham, Afal Pi She'enu Ochel Sham, Mivarech and Sheva Bracha. He's using singular, 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 singular. So we see from there that he clearly holds of one. Okay, that you only need one at a time. And again, if you look in the Ramban in a bit of a different Sfara, talking about why on Shabbos we can make Sheva Brachos, even if we didn't specifically, explicitly invite an additional Panim Chadashos, Ramban remarks in Source Yud Aleph, and so too we see similarly in the Ritva, the Rajba, and others as well, She'efter Shaloyeh B'Shabbos Echad Shalohai Hashem Etmol. So it's impossible, it's inconceivable on Shabbos, there won't be one new person. Mashma, one is enough. Okay, so these are various Rishonim that we see, and this is pretty much all the Ashkenazi Rishonim. And, yes?
So, Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam, he's not quoting his father.
He says, I have it as a Mesorah.
Not from his...
From his father, that's what he says.
Rishain. It doesn't say from his father.
Yeah, he's heard his father quote.
But he's not fighting. He's no more authoritative than anybody else here. Right?
Yeah. That's fair. He goes through this Rebbe Raman Rambam next. But I don't think we've found any other sources of this Mesorah, you know, from the times of the Rambam other than Rebbe Raman Rambam.
What about two?
Correct.
It's interesting. He probably went to Sheva Brachos with his father.
I know. That's why I'm saying Nimsar Bishem. I think he's saying, is this true? He may not have explicitly told me, but I know that that's the reality, and that's why he tries to prove it from what he wrote. Like, it's clear that he felt his father Paskin this way.
Then he would have said personally, I was there when I heard it.
Yeah, no, it's
Shemati,
it's
Raisi, whatever.
Yeah.
Is the term panim used anywhere else?
Sorry?
The term panim, is it used anywhere else?
Well, many, many places. But there's nothing conclusive that everybody agrees upon as to whether or not it would be explicitly plural or explicitly singular. Clearly, we see it going both ways.
Right.
Yeah. Panim el panim, yeah.
One or the other, single person.
Yeah. Correct, panim is, but...
It sounds forced.
What?
Look, for the Ramban for us to be able to say panim chadashos echa.
Right.
It's obviously, we can say that because the assumption is that it's a person, adam ba'al panim chadashot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's not that...
Right.
It's an elutz.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it definitely is used as one.
Right.
But again, perhaps the Gemara could have used another way of saying it, that they felt this was implicit of two. Yeah. Anyways, but the point is to say that we have the Rambam, some interpretations of the Rambam say 10, and the sort of additional view that you may need Rov of a 10. You've got a view of 2 from Rav Ram ben Rambam, which... Again, forced or not, seems to be the Rambam's opinion, at least according to him. And then you've got really a whole bunch of other people saying that, no, it really only means one, and that's the case. Now, just to go back to source number Ches, which I'm not going to talk about at length, it's interesting to note that there are two different limudim as how we know that you have to have a minion for Birchas Chasanim. It's interesting to see, if you were to say that you need 10 panim chadashos, you might be able to say the limud was from the first case, which is talking about an actual wedding, right? When Boaz is getting married to Ruth, and he takes 10 people from the city, and he brings them in. But if it's just about B'makelos Baruch Hu Elokim Hashem Mekor Yisrael, Panim Chadashos is not at all involved in this minion practice at all, and it's just, you need a minion of people present when you're blessing the Chasan Kala, and when you're making a bracha in this fashion. Something to think about, but not something that I want to get into now. Here's where we finally come to Rashi. If I asked you to read Rashi, going back to the first page, you know what say on the first page? What does Rashi say? How many do you need each day? Okay. So you guys say plural. Interesting. Let's take a look at the Shita Mikubetzes. V'hu shebao panim chadashos. Yesh mi she'omer. There are some who say, Rav Raman and Rambam, Diba'inan l'chol ha'pachos shnayim, midinakat Rav Yehuda panim chadashos, so miut rabim shnayim, v'ta'usahi. Okay? Says the Shita Megubetzis, this is a big mistake. To Rav Yehuda, kai al hadetanya mevarchen brechas chasanim kol sheva upirish. Deha detanya mevarchen kol sheva hainu shebechol yom vayom ba'u panim chadashos shelo hayusham etmal. Okay? Perush, biyom shelefanav viribui hapanim tenakat lefi rov hayamim. So he says, even let's assume that panim chadashos is plural. He says it's only because he's responding to the fact that there are 7 days. So yes, over the 7 days you will have panim chadashos. Even if we do say it's plural, says Ishita Mikubetzes. Right? He's saying the point is, umiyu b'chol yom b'chad sagi. Because he's running to the fact that there are 7 days. So he says, v'hu shebo panim chadashos, meaning, even if he had one on Sunday, one on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, one on Thursday, one on Friday, one on Shabbos, whatever, panim chadashos. That's fine, you got that covered. Now, right? And he says, v'afshar, and here he's medayek this in Rashi. V'afshar d'lahachi kasav Rashi, panim chadashos, b'chol yom shelo hayusham etmal. He says, what's he trying to say from Rashi? He's trying to say that Rashi is alluding to this, saying that what does it mean, panim chadashos? Meaning each day there will be one, and therefore you'll have panim chadashos. That's what Rashi says, b'chol yom, that weren't there yesterday. Okay, now, I would say if you're reading Rashi, there's room to disagree. Number one, you have Rashi who explicitly says b'chol yom. His understanding of b'chol yom is to say that's why he says panim chadashos. You could argue that no, Rashi's specifically saying, if Rashi's understanding panim chadashos to mean a plural, then it has to be no panim chadashos b'chol yom. It has to really be two people on each day, and as we can be medayek, b'chol yom shelo hayusham etmol, they weren't there yesterday. Right? So you could make such a diuk. It's not such a strong diuk. I don't know how much of a fan I am of making a diuk like this, hayu versus haya. But at the end of the day, just as the Shita Mikubetzis can read this specifically to be supporting the opinion that there are one, I think you could just as easily make the argument that Bechol Yom is coming to tell you that each day there has to be a separate Panim Chadashos. Right. Not that Panim Chadashos is collective over the 7 days. But rather, each day there has to be whatever we require for Panim Chadashos, and that's what we say, Shelo Hayusham Etmol, that it's two here, not, you know, one was yesterday and one was today.
That actually doesn't.
Right? And that actually fits quite well into the wording of Rashi when you think about it, right? Shelo Hayusham Etmol could be saying, not, meaning even if it were explicitly addressing this, you could read Rashi in that fashion. I'm not sure Rashi is, but I think it's an interesting point to be made that you could argue against the Shita Mikubetzes from the wording of Rashi in exactly the opposite direction. Yes?
Well, I completely agree. You can also just say that the what Shelo Hayusham refers to the panim, not to the person.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying. This is all based on the assumption. This is all based on the assumption that we're using plural on purpose.
Right.
Right?
But necessary technically, if read technique would require you to use the plural anyway.
And are the Rishonim doing that? No, the Rishonim are generally not following that. I mean, look at the Ran.
Look at the Ran, right? So we have the Ramban, but
right, we have the Ran quoting the Ramban, where people are making the same diukim, right? Yes. Adam shelo haya bechupa. We have something to reference against. And again, you could make that argument. If you're coming to say that panim chadashos have to be plural, you can just as easily argue back and say that Rashi specifically coming here with his bechol yom shelo hayusham etmol to tell you that no, each day requires two panim chadashos. You could make such an argument. However, it really will take us now to the meat of the understanding of Rashi. What does it actually mean? And I'll pause here for a moment for the Ran, right? The Ran, I think, basically says what Rashi says, and you could read him exactly the same as Rashi. Certainly in the Ran al-Arif, he quotes Rashi. In his Chidushim, he adds in two words, perhaps which could be somewhat supportive of the Shita Mikubetzes, but we're really getting down to nitty-gritty details here, and I don't think it's necessary, especially with the time we have left and the amount we have to cover. So let's move on to an alternate understanding of Shelo Hayusham Etmol, that this is coming to teach us not something about how many Panim Chadashos are coming each day, but rather, what makes something considered a panim chadashos? What is new enough for us? Says the Meiri. Okay, says the Meiri. Panim chadashos elu. Regarding panim chadashos, nechleku ba mefarshim, all the mefarshim are in a big machlokas, the kama deos, ve'in biyadinu l'hachriya, says we can't even decide who's right. And here's what he says, v'ushegidole harabanim, if anybody who's familiar with the Meiri will know, the Meiri has code names for many of the Rishonim. Anybody know who Gedolei Harabanim is in the Meiri? The code name is for Rashi. And he says, v'ushegidole harabanim mefarshim, Rashi explains, shelo hayusham etmol, what does it mean that they are chadashos? It means they weren't there yesterday. Explains the Meiri. Af al pisha kvar achal sham be'echad min hashiva. Ho'il v'hifsik yom echad bein tayim shelo achal. He's considered panim chadashos. Says, what does chadashos mean? Until now we might have thought, like all the other Rishonim, which we're going to see, except for one very extreme shita, which he's going to quote in the continuation. Panim chadashos means they weren't there. The wedding, they weren't there. The sheva brachos, whatever it is. Rashi explains the Meiri holds that all you need is a break for one day. If, for example, right? Right, then it's correct. It's a renewed simcha. And Rashi would hold, so long as the person has been away for one day, that's enough to consider them panim chadashos.
But you don't say shalom aleichem to somebody if you have, unless you've seen them in, three days?
That's nice. What does that have to do with sheva brachos? Nothing. You still get that simcha. You still get that simcha. You still get that kavod. Whatever it is that's causing us to say that panim chadashos are necessary and that it's not a fushi simcha ba'alma, but rather it's a new renewed simcha, is the guy went home for a day. And if the guy went home and he's returned, says the Meiri Rashi holds, lo hayusham edmol, that's considered a panim chadashos. Yes?
So according to, if we go back 3 weeks to Rabbi Abi Shir, on bracha, mishum simcha, mishum kavod chasam,
yes?
Can a chasam be a panim chadashos at his own sheva brachas?
That's a tough one. That you're already stretching, I think. When we say Ion, we didn't intend to go that far. But really, this is the way the Meiri explains Rashi, and he brings a whole bunch of other shitas as well, including a very bizarre shita, which we may sort of explore, but not too much. Basically, he brings three other shitas. Number one, hasn't eaten there with them at all yet. Number two, even if he was there every single day, meaning he didn't stop at all, he was there day one, day two, day three, day four, on day five, but he's not someone who's usually around. It's the cousin who came in from Israel for the wedding. Some people say that's even considered panim chadashos, right? Be'inu rag yelech alimo kol hashana. And it's, again, kavod chuppah, hu ochel, fine. And finally, he says, some people say that they can't even have heard the berachas nisuin, which, of course, is the shita of the Rambam, right? That they can't have heard the berachas nisuin yet. So it's the shita of the Tosfos right here. You know, many people, these are machlokes. Now, however, let's take a look at the Ritva. And here, you guys are going to be taken for a ride. Amar of Yehuda, v'ushibau panim chadashos. Pirush Rashi Zal. Says Ritva, I'm going to quote you what Rashi says. Panim chadashos shelo hayusham kodem lachein. Panim chadashos means they weren't there yet. Okay.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Well, come on, Bishmatin Amrina, and it says the Ritva, I have a raya to this. Later on, our sugya, we say, Iika panim chadashos delo havu taman me ikara. Says, if you look in my Gemara, he says, Shekena Girsa Besefer Dukani, in the exact Sfarim, the ones that are, you know, have the correct Girsa of the Gemara, it says, Panim Chadashos de lo havu taman me ikara. Panim Chadashos, who were not there originally. So says Ritva, Rashi's great. Rashi says exactly like the Gemara. What's going on? Notes the editor of that volume for Masada Rav Kook, Rav Moshe Goldstein, on Ha'ara 132, B'dibra Amaskal Panam Chadash, as Rashi says, B'dibra Amaskal Panam Chadash, as Visham says in our version, Shalo Hayusham Etmol. The Kaf Kasa, V'tamim Deyim Sim and Kof Peites. Anybody know what Tamim Deyim is?
Tamim Deyim is the Ravid, no?
Is associated with the Ravid. Interestingly, in this Tshuva, the person quotes the Magad Mishnah, whoever was writing it, so it's clearly later than the Ravid, but apparently most of the Tshuvos are Miyuchasas to the Ravid, so it's from the times of the Rishonim, so that's what it writes in Tamim Deyim. V'ayin b'Meiri b'das Rashi, and he says, go look in the Meiri to explain this Rashi. However, v'ayin b'Orchos Chaim, Hilchos Berach Zamazut Simon Nuntes, if you look in the Orchos Chaim, which is a halacha sefer from the Rishonim, in Hilchos Berach Zamazut Simon Nuntes, Shehaya Lafana v'Rashi Kirabenu. He says he also had the same gears on Rashi, meaning he's understanding the Ritva simply had a different gears on Rashi. Pirish Rashi Zal, and that's the way the Ritva quotes Rashi usually. This is what he had written in the Rashi in front of him. Yes?
I said before about Shalom Aleichem. What about the moon? That's the real only Chodesh that we have in the Torah, right? The
yeah.
New moon, which is not a new moon.
Yeah.
Because it was there last month. You
yeah.
didn't see it.
Yeah.
So it's... We should. Why don't we use that as part of the trying to figure out what the Chadoshos means.
Because
it's not
there's
entirely new. It's that you haven't seen for a while.
Well, how long is a while? What would you say? You could argue even
days, but cause
no, you, then, no, you could. I could make two Kiddush Levanas within 30 days if I want easily. Make one on the 14th. The next month, I make it on the 4th.
Oh, I see.
Right. Okay, and also, what makes the Kiddush? Is it that the Levana quote unquote disappeared when it was going from one month to the next? Is it that I have to have not seen it for the 15-day gap? Like you could get within that, but I don't think it's relevant to Panim Chadashos. I don't think that that's going to be our definition of Chadashos here.
It's an important word that in the Chumash to use.
Fair. Yeah.
I mean, the concept is there.
Right.
The concept is there. The fact that it was, you know, to use your metaphor, eclipsed for a time. I think is being used here without an explicit link to the moon.
In one understanding of Rashi.
Right. If you're taking the view that it's just as small that they weren't there, and therefore now I feel good because
anything that disappears and then comes back, that's the moon.
Okay.
Among other things.
But that's the word chadash in the Torah. It's not absent. You think it means completely new. No. Chodesh means something that was there and reappears.
Right.
So,
but again, is it that it was there from a second before and now there anew? Meaning, is it that we look at the moon the second before the Moalad, now it's a new moon, right? In which case you could say the chidush is only 1 second apart. From when it was a sliver facing this way to now it's a sliver. I'm just saying that could be what's considered mechudash.
When you see the full moon.
Yeah, that's your assumption of it. But I want to get back to this because I want to finish at least a significant portion, even though I realize we won't get down to the last two suggestions. I want to finish this here. Now, it's interesting. He's busy quoting, you know, these bizarre Rishonim that we don't usually have access to and look into so much, with the exception of the Meiri. If you look in the Ramban, says the Ramban, Upirish Panim Chadashos, Chelo Achal Sham Kol Shivas Yimei HaMishteh. The Ramban says, what's my understanding of Panim Chadashos? That you haven't eaten there during Sheva Rachis. V'keinu pirish Rashi Zal. That's what Rashi says too. Uchtamrino lekaman, according to the Gemara, Mishkachas lal Panim Chadashos lo haputaman meikar. So what's going on? On the one hand, you've got some Rishonim, like the Meiri, and again, like he says in Tamim Di and Kof Beites, that seem to be really talking about Shalo Hayusham Etmol in Rashi. That it was, you weren't there yesterday, but if you were there 2 days ago, isn't it? On the other hand, you have a Ritva, you have a Ramban, you know, saying that Rashi says you can't have been there for all of Sheva Brachos, what is going on? So the simplest way that some people take it, and that's the way, again, this Rav Moshe Goldstein took it, is different Girsa. He had a different Girsa than Rashi. The problem with that is, first of all, we see this enough, and we don't usually have Rishonim having such different Girsos in other Rishonim that change the meaning so much, number one. Number two, we have this preserved in various, various places. You know, B'Shem Rashi, there are a number of Sefer Halach and the Rishonim that say Rashi says this. Also the Machzor Vitri, the Talmud of Rashi says this repeatedly. We have this in a lot of places, and it doesn't seem that that's what they're saying for a few reasons. In addition to some other factors, I would argue that perhaps they read Rashi as saying Shelo Hayusham Etmol, meaning he hasn't been there yet for the Sheva Brachos, which I think is a fair read. And I'll explain to you why.
Wait, who's saying that?
Clearly the Ritva and the Ramban understand Rashi as saying that it means they haven't been there yet for Sheva Brachos.
Right. And you're saying,
how did they get that? One possibility is another Girsa. I think that unlikely for a variety of reasons. I can't go into all of them right now, but I raised a few of them in that you do see within a whole host of Rishonim them quoting that Girsa. Okay. So it's perhaps they read Rashi as Shelo Hayusham Etmol, not to mean Etmol yesterday Dafka, but Etmol's a general, you weren't there yet. Okay? Right? And in fact, it's interesting, even the Avudraham, in quoting this, he says, Pirish Shelo Hayusham Etmol Shilshom. So already, see, he's starting to go back, meaning you weren't at Sheva Brachos yet. It's interesting because that Avudraham is hard to deal with for other reasons, but the point is you do see that there could be an easy way to explain this in saying that the Ritva is not quoting Rashi word for word, which would be also account for the difference in wording between the Ramban and the Ritva, but rather they're just explaining what we think Rashi is saying is as follows. Okay? Now, here's what gets really messy, is the reason why the Or HaChaim was quoted in the Ha'ara is because the Or HaChaim actually quotes a number of opinions. Look down. Second line we'll start with. Okay? Upirish Rash Zal, which is Rashi. Okay? Panem Chadasha Shelo Achlu Sham Kol Shivas Hayamim V'chein Kasaf HaRamban Zal. V'yesh mifarshim kolam shechatanenu miskavod bo. V'yesh omrim shelo haya shamei etmol. So he quotes Rashi first with the Ramban's shita to say that he hadn't been there yet, and then he quotes the shita that we associate with Rashi of shelo haya shamei etmol. That's very bizarre. There are a couple of ways that people have suggested to resolve this. I'm not going to get into that now for the sake of time. We can leave this as a tzarach iyun, but the point is that there really are two ways to understand this. Rashi shelo haya sham etmol. I will note, by the way, in the Kolbo, which it's unclear whether it was an earlier version or a later version or a kitzer or an expansion or exactly what's going on, but it has some important relation to the Archos Chaim. And actually, if you look there, it actually quotes Rashi as saying panim chadash shelo haya sham etmol. This would mean, if it's a later version, it's actually a correction in some way. If it's an earlier version, it's quite hard to understand as to why someone would change Shitas Rashi from saying that to something else, but that gets beside the point. So at this point, we really have, in addition to the possibility of Rashi's Shelo Hayasham Etmol coming to address the fact that we would want either two Panim Chadashos there every day, or to say that, no, all you need is one every day, and that constitutes Panim Chadashos, like we saw in the first approach in the Shita and how we disagreed with the Shita, we can also now look to it as a definition of what makes something Chadashos. According to the Meiri and various other Rishonim, I can give you a list if you're interested, but the ones who say it explicitly in the name of Rashi are, we see the Kolbo here, the Sefer HaShulchan, which is Talmud of the Rajba, says explicitly Rashi says he needs to have not been there yesterday. The Ohel Moed, which is another one of the Rishonim, says that various other Rishonim quoted Stam, like, again, the Talmidim of Rashi. I mean, you have also Sefer Manu, many, many places. But that's one take, is the Meiri's take. It has to have been yesterday, La'afuke, 2 days ago. Whereas you have what seems to be a very realistic read of the Ritva and the Ramban, and in fact, endorsed by the Beis Yosef, no less, in terms of Pascha Nigla Halacha, that's the way the Beis Yosef understands Rashi here. I forgot to put it on the sheet, I apologize. And so much so that people were thinking maybe the Beis Yosef had a different gear of Rashi, but in fact, he's simply following suit. He quotes Rashi as saying etmol, but sort of elaborates on that. I'll just finish up with a couple of interesting ideas, which I'll leave you to chew on, you know, because we only have about 2 minutes left, 3 minutes maybe. Number one is the possibility that Rashi's actually saying something different. People have suggested this. I don't think it's a viable read on Rashi, I'll tell you right up front, but it's an interesting suggestion. The Ramban notes that people generally would make their weddings when?
Fridays,
right? People would make their weddings on Fridays. And if you look at the Ramban himself, in giving the svara that we saw earlier, of explaining why is it that you don't need panim chadashos on Shabbos, he says she'yafsher shelo yia b'Shabbos echad shelo hayasham etmol. It's impossible that on Shabbos there won't be one additional person that wasn't at the wedding yesterday. Some people would therefore suggest that maybe this is what Rashi is referring to in sort of saying b'chol yom shelo hayasham etmol, that he's talking about each day, meaning even on Shabbos that there will be one person who wasn't there yesterday at the wedding, which you could then say that Rashi was saying specifically the criteria is what?
It's really hard.
That they weren't present at the wedding. I would tend to agree. This is a bit bizarre, but I did see people try to explain this way. And it's interesting because the Ramban does use that Lashon of Rashi to explain Shabbos, but I think to put that into Rashi and say that Rashi is referring to a Shabbos with a Friday wedding is a very hard way to read it. And I think especially when you've got two, you know, very established Rishonim coming in and telling you, you read Rashi this way, you read Rashi this way, there's no need to do that. However, I wanted to suggest one last thing in our last minute here, which is a very bizarre shita brought in that goes Maimonios, which is the Rabbanei Narbona, okay? The rabbis of Narbon, Pirshu explained, the Ika Panim Chadashos, they didn't have, you know, certain Girsos in our Gemara like Behu Shebo. They just had Ika Panim Chadashos. And they wrote, Klomar, Im HaPanim Chadashos Shebo'u L'chupa, Odam Sham, or it could be they did have it and it'd be hard to explain, but it doesn't matter. They say, if the people who came to the chuppah are still remaining, shelo halach echad mehen, and none of them have gone back home yet, mivarech kulhu. So long as everybody from the wedding is still sticking around, that's what it means, yika panim chadashos. Panim chadashos meaning the people who came for the wedding. Mamish, the exact opposite of everything that we're saying. This is Rabbanan Rabbanat's brought in a version of Tosfos by the Agos Maimonios, and he says, vafilu kol hazayin yamim, uvilvad shelo halach adamei osan chebau lechvod achopa aval halchu lo adkan lashon atosfos. This is what's brought from the Rabbanan Narbona. If that's the case, we got to give me this last 30 seconds. I need it here. Okay? Perhaps, if this was a prevalent understanding, I don't know. Again, it's brought in the name of, you know, the Tosfos from the Agos Maimonios. Rashi could be coming specifically to exclude this and to go against this view. And that's why he's saying, v'hu shebau el hamishteh. Meaning the Rabbanin are bone had understood. What does Vehu Shabau mean? Vehu Shabau means they came to the wedding. Rashi says, no, tonight. Ela Mishteh Panim Chadashos Bechol Yom Shelo Hayusham Etmol. Rashi is saying specifically to say, La Buke, this Shita. No, 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 no. This is where we have it, but I have to stop here. Have a good Shabbos. I'll take questions now.